Brothers and sisters in Jesus, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue through our series of baptism, connecting that sacrament, as Paul does in Romans chapter 6, with the death and burial of Jesus Christ, our text this evening is the Gospel according to St. John chapter 3. Selected verses. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." This is the word of God. Friends in Christ, I don't know if you've heard, but there is a terrible virus going around. I know it sounds like an understatement, but I'm actually not talking about the coronavirus, which tends to affect different people in different ways. I learned today that at least 70% of deaths from COVID-19 are male, not female. And not everyone knows if they will contract the virus. It seems like some people's immune systems are prepared for this and others are not. And children almost always go unaffected. I'm not really talking about the COVID-19 virus tonight. I'm talking about a different virus. I'm talking about a worse virus. It is a virus that's going around without any respect for persons. Doesn't care who you are. As long as you are human flesh, you are going to contract this virus. You are infected. It influences your will, your desire, your emotions, your mind, your heart, your hands, your feet. It influences who you are and how you behave. Doesn't matter. You could be old or young. You could be a child. You could be an infant. You could be unborn. As long as you are human flesh, you get this virus. And by flesh, I don't mean it's a physical disease, although it does corrupt our physical bodies and does eventually lead to the separation of body and soul that we call death. It's really something, when we say flesh, we're talking about a natural thing, innate, inbred, inborn in each of us. It's something that you don't learn. It's something that doesn't happen by accident. If you're not careful, if you don't wash your hands, it's something that happens to every individual of the human race. And that is the virus, sin. You probably guessed what I was talking about, but I wanted to make it plain. Sin, with a capital I, if we really spell it correctly. I know the I is right in the middle of the word, but that's because we capitalize the letter I if we spell sin correctly, because sin is always emphasizing me, I, the self, what I can get. And there's no way to avoid it, because everyone who has sin has come from a sinner, has been born through a sinner. As Jesus told Nicodemus in tonight's lesson, flesh gives birth to flesh. It's impossible to not be contaminated because you're coming from two contaminated human beings. It's impossible to not be infected with this virus. And we can learn simply from experience by watching people that you don't need to learn how to sin. It's not something that you have to teach. Look at our littlest ones and see how they have not really learned how to be disobedient, but they simply are. As a relatively new parent, it's pretty obvious to see. You see a little boy who runs around and is told what not to do, and he certainly doesn't follow what he's told. He certainly indicates at times that he knows exactly what you're telling him, and yet he looks up, no expression on his face, and continues to be disobedient and do what he's been told not to do, whether that's playing with cords in the house or climbing too high on a piece of furniture. As a young boy, I grew up in a daycare home. My mom provides daycare. She still does this. She's been doing it for 30, 40 years. And we saw it every day that when a child was dropped off at the daycare, would cling to the parent, whoever was dropping that child off, and kick and scream, even though the parents would calmly sit the child down and attempt to reason with the child, attempt to teach the child how to be obedient and not disobedient. And then at the end of the day, as it turned out, that child had picked up pretty quick, enjoyed the whole day at the daycare, and when mom and dad came, guess what? Kicking and screaming because the child doesn't want to leave the daycare. They are having so much fun. Pretty rough for a parent who's just finishing up a long day. And the kicking and screaming ensues. You don't have to teach a human being how to be disobedient and sin against brother and sister, against mother and father, against neighbor and authority, against our fellow man, and worst of all, against our God. In fact, we read this in the psalm, "Surely I am sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And as you continue in your life as a youth, as a teen, through school and into adulthood, as it turns out, it really doesn't even seem to be that we learn how to defeat sin any better. Maybe sometimes, but often on my walk closer to God, seems to me, I learn how to sin worse and worse. Do we need to really explore that? All we have to do is look into our passion history to see that sin is true as well for adults. You didn't have to teach Jesus' friends to abandon him at his hour of darkest need. You didn't have to teach Pilate to care so little for the King of Truth. You didn't have to teach Judas how to betray his closest friend. You didn't have to teach these men to shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" You didn't have to teach Judas how to despair and take his own life. For that is what sin does. Because it starts in the heart, and it continues in the mind, in the body, and apparently it's our future, from young to old, infected by sin, and we need a cure. And that's what Jesus so lovingly explains to Nicodemus under cover of night in John chapter 3. Of course, a famous chapter because there we get the gospel in a nutshell. We heard it in our confession and absolution right this evening, that God so loved the world and gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So God has provided the cure. God has already solved this problem for us. Long before you and I were born, Jesus had solved this problem on the cross to forgive any and all sinners, anyone who might hear the word and for whom this sacrament of baptism might be given now in the New Testament. The cure is there. It's very simple. It's water and the word, and it's needed by all. It's needed by all. Nicodemus, you can see the expression on his face, even though it's not in the words of the text, because Jesus says, "Don't be amazed at this. Yeah, I know, you're a great big theologian, and you've got all your theologian buddies. And we're meeting at night because you're afraid of your friends who might get upset at you because you're starting to put your trust in me a little bit." So we have Jesus explaining, you can't enter the kingdom of God except by water and the word. There is some debate among some people who really want the word water to mean something else, some other kind of fluid, but it's just the simple word water. And combined with the word, It's what we always talk about. It's what the Bible always talks about when it talks about baptism. The Holy Spirit working with the Word, connected with the water. Indeed, this is something for all. Really? All? How can we know that? How can we apply baptism to all people? What if they don't understand what's really happening? Now, that's true. There were some believers who were baptized after believing. A pretty common example in the book of Acts, chapter 8, you had this Ethiopian eunuch, and the Spirit brought Philip to him and then whisked him away as suddenly as he came. And as Philip ministered to this man in his chariot, this Ethiopian, he opened the scriptures to him. He showed him, yeah, the suffering servant, Isaiah chapter 53. It's talking about someone who would suffer. Isaiah isn't really talking about himself. He's talking about Jesus Christ, who would come. And in fact, Ethiopian eunuch, he has come. And of course, the Ethiopian eunuch put his faith in that promise and said, "Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Philip agreed. So he applied water and the word. Great example for an adult baptism. A couple chapters later, Acts chapter 10, you have Cornelius, that Roman soldier, and Peter comes and ministers to him. And in that instance, the Holy Spirit comes on people who weren't baptized prior. Everyone who heard the word in Acts chapter 10 received the Holy Spirit that day. And so Peter says, "All right, let's baptize them. How can we not? They have the Holy Spirit." And Acts chapter 16, the household of the jailer at Philippi, there we have a very clear but very small, it doesn't take a night to present law and gospel, to demonstrate to the jailer. Paul and Silas are there to give them the true word of God and to baptize the whole household. Okay, well, we've heard things like everyone there were baptized, but you know what? Some people might think, the Bible does estimates sometimes. Sometimes there are round numbers and there are figures, so maybe when the Bible has Jesus instituting holy baptism, he says, "Go and baptize all nations," maybe he's estimating. Maybe he means just a few people from all nations. Maybe he doesn't really mean the children or the people who don't really understand what baptism is. Okay, well, that's not what Jesus says, but let's go with it. Let's suggest maybe that's an estimate. Okay, let's entertain that hypothesis. What about in Acts 16 with the jailer at Philippi? It says, "Then immediately the jailer and all his household were baptized." Households often included as many as the slaves, let alone the children, the actual children of the people inhabiting the home. Okay, but since some Christians might insist that household must not have included the children, maybe it was an estimate. Okay, well, what about Acts chapter 10? It says, "Everyone who heard Peter's message received the Spirit, and then they were baptized." Everyone who heard. All right, some Christians want that to mean just an estimate, not the children, or maybe there were no children there. Okay, what about Acts 2? At Pentecost, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." This is in the middle of a big pilgrimage festival, Pentecost, when people from outside of Jerusalem were all flocking there. People from all different nations were told, as far as Rome. And he says, "Every one of you." Okay, some Christians want that to be an estimate. Maybe there weren't children there. Maybe Peter was exaggerating, or it's some kind of estimate. But then, if this case wasn't already getting quite challenging, with all of these sum totals, calling all these totalities mere estimates, you have another challenge. Because in the very next verse at Pentecost, Peter says, "The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off." It's getting pretty difficult to say that baptism isn't for every single human being. My goodness, the evidence is piling up for those who say all nations except for the babies, minus the children. That's pretty difficult math if you look at what the Bible has to say about baptism. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely. This is what the gospel does. It goes out and it reaches the ears and the eyes of those who need it. And the Holy Spirit, through that message, creates faith in those hearts. In fact, when have you ever heard of Jesus keeping children away from him? In three Gospels, we have him saying, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." And in one of those Gospels, it's very clear that the little children who were brought to him were babies. Over and over again, the Gospel says baptism is needed by all. And so we see in passages throughout the Scriptures that while babies are sinners, they can believe. And how so many of you, like Timothy, from infancy have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Babies can believe. Even great, big, prominent men like Nicodemus could hear the message that Jesus was speaking to him and realize that all of these Pharisaical washings he underwent, they weren't enough, but the baptism of water and the word was needed. The baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Needed not just for him, but for all his Pharisee friends, for all who are sinners, for all of their children, for all who were far off. Even he, that prominent theologian, needed a washing. For the virus cares very little whom it infects. Thankfully, the cure is known. It is simple. It's water and the word of Christ. And it's for all. In his name, amen.